From the Hill Country in Texas, broadcasting worldwide, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.
Well, there, sports fans, it's the Real World of Money. Good morning. January 11th, 2018, just in case you're lost. Tempest fugit, as Andrew Gauss says. I don't know what that means. I'll ask him. It's the Real World of Money, and it stars Andrew Gauss, who's a good friend, about 25 years or so, go figure. And he's a currency historian at that. Yeah, he studies this stuff called money. Things around the world and around the bend and up, you know, every place. And he's working on his third book. He's got two of them out there called The Uncle Sam Cooks the Books and The Secret World of Money. We're on every Wednesday. We take a look at the dollar. We take a look at money. We take a look at gold, geopolitics. It's all intertwined together. And now, as Andrew Gauss has said many times, if you listen to One Radio Network, you're liable to live a lot longer, so you better not outlive your money. Good morning, Andrew Gauss.
Good morning, Patrick.
So I guess that's a good, you know, if you're like, say you're like 80 and still healthy and playing tennis and, you know, chasing the grandkids around the table, and all of a sudden you say, Marge, do we have any more money?
And then, no, you got to go back to work, Frank.
It's like, you know, wait a minute. No, I've done my work thing. I don't want to go, but it could happen, right?
Indeed, yeah, unfortunately, it is a situation facing a great number of seniors, but with, you know, 1900, the lifespan was 47 years.
Is that right, 47?
47.
We're doubling that now, right?
It's 82 today.
You, man. Yeah, and I don't know, you know, since I've never been fortunate enough to do one of those IRA things, being a radio guy, you know, we didn't do that stuff because you weren't at a station long enough to do it. You know, generally fired within 3 years, right? So I, you know, I just don't know how they work. But do people generally able to do? I mean, but don't you have to stay with a? Sorry, I'm just rambling the question here. I mean, do you have to be with a company for a long time, stashing money away to have enough?
No.
No.
No. If you're doing it in pre-tax dollars.
Pre-tax. My favorite.
That's the IRA, right? For the longest time, you were allowed to put a couple $1,000 a year for yourself away in a non-tax environment. So you got the money before it was taxed.
So you got the money from your check and you shoved it in an IRA.
Yep.
And then it kept it from being taxed.
And then it isn't taxed until you pull it out of your IRA.
Right. But then the tax rate is, well, generally higher.
Presumably. Much higher.
But then
maybe not for four more years. You know, this is the second real issue facing the baby boomer today, or the prudent one, the one that actually does save some money. The rest of the populace doesn't. And so then they get to vote. Oh, I say we take away Patrick's IRA money. We take a bigger chunk of it and give it to ourselves.
But you can't take somebody's IRA money, can you?
You could tax it when it's coming out.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So, you know, you work your whole life, you put money away in your IRA, and then you feel, okay, Marge, we have a comfortable retirement ahead of us. But then the socialist from New York decides, oh, we need to take some of that money so that we can take care of those who didn't work and save and put money aside.
Did the recent tax cut thing by the president, the Trump administration, did
apply
that
to everything?
Did that lower than people taking money out of their IRAs?
Absolutely. Okay. Did it lower the
taxes? Lower the taxes?
It did. Okay. Yeah, it did. Mm-hmm. So, what are we going to do? We're going to either keep our republic, as Franklin suggested, or we're going to denigrate into mobocracy, a democracy.
Mobocracy.
Right, where people, the majority decides they're going to take more of the minority's money, and there's not much the minority can do about it.
Mm-hmm. You got the money, and we want it. And isn't that the communist kind of manifesto, the socialist, where there are a bunch of people that want to give everybody anything, but they don't have any money.
They don't have anything to give, right? So they need to take it from somebody else. It's unfortunate, but it's the reality in which we live. Yeah. So as we lean more towards that, as folks keep this complacent attitude, don't go out and vote, and certainly vote on things other than. I mean, to me, it's all about economics. Maybe that's because I'm a money guy. But, you know, my elected officials can pretty much do what they need to or want to in their personal life. I couldn't care less. As long as they manage the business properly.
The business thing.
Yeah.
No.
Then, the free market can decide whether they want to reelect them or not. I don't want to hear any more salacious stories. I'm so tired of them. Now we're picking on Trudeau, right? You heard this, the Canadian guy? Well, he's got some personal issue there.
We all have personal
enough. I know. Leave him alone. Forget right? it. I don't want to hear anymore.
We all have personal issues, you know?
Yeah. Please.
So we have half the country then, the political left. God love them. I have some good friends on that,
Me too.
Side. We all have them. Yeah. And so they're really nice, good people. And
That's what they want to help.
They want to help. And they
want
to
just want to help.
They just want to help. And I get
but
it.
But they don't have the money to help.
But they
need to take some of yours.
But they don't think of it in those terms.
Oh, no.
The conversation never gets to that.
Never does.
It's simply
tax the
pretty
rich.
Much. Well, it's simply, they don't even say that. They just simply say if people need money, you got to give it to them. And whether it's a national, what do they call it? Guaranteed income.
Oh.
Or whether it's, letting people in because they're humans. And I get that. And you just have to take care of them and open
free
borders.
Things. Wait. Are you kidding? Now you're kidding, right?
No, I mean, this is what they say. This is what they tell me when I talk to them.
I get it.
I get it. How can you not take a kid across the border and take care of them if they don't have any food? I mean, I understand that.
My mother would aggravate me to no end in that regard. It's like, why are you giving money to Joe? Can't you see Jane over here needs it more? Why don't you give it to Jane instead of Joe? She actually wanted to interfere in my philanthropy. I don't think it's anyone's business but your own. And you know those three levels of giving, right, where the recipient and the donor know each other and they know about the donation?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second level where the recipient knows the donor or vice versa. Usually it's the donor knows the recipient, but the recipient doesn't know the donor. That's, decent. And then the third where neither knows each other and it's given strictly from, that place in your heart that wants to help other folk.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that it should be regulated or governed by some elected body is absurd to me. It just doesn't seem. If people want to give and they want to devote their entire life and their entire productivity to helping others, that is their right, and they should be encouraged to do so.
And but there's a lot of people that do that.
That's right.
There are. They
spend their life selflessly giving to others.
Do foundations and stuff like that?
Well, that whole foundation thing.
Whole
I don't know.
That's
that.
A whole
yeah,
other story, yeah.
That's more even about saving themselves the tax burden. But if folks who want to give to other folk, they should be allowed to and encouraged to, but they shouldn't be coerced into it or, that threat, duress, and coercion thing. Very bad. Very bad. So.
It's just amazing to me that the political left that they don't seem to look a big picture financially or anything that makes any kind of sense. It's just out of this emotional compassion, and I get it. I really get it because they really believe this. They really do. They're not bad people.
They just need to study history.
Well, they just don't see the big picture, do they?
I don't think they do.
I mean, and plus too, karmically, spiritually, it's really not a good thing.
No.
To support people who aren't taking care of themselves.
Right.
Is it? I mean,
I look at the Mayflower experiment.
It's just not good.
No.
It's like giving your kid a new car.
Yes.
When they're 16, just because he's 16. And
He deserves it. He's entitled to it.
That doesn't end well. It never does.
Never does. They usually wreck the third one.
That's right.
Because you want to make them appreciate what they have.
No.
an old rusty bucket in the driveway at 15 makes more sense to me. And then, oh, you got to spend the next couple of years getting this thing roadworthy, fixing it, respecting it, learning about it, cherishing it. That's not entitled to it.
Well, you know, and just from a spiritual perspective, the way I see it, Andrew, is like we as here on spiritual beings on earth, there is nothing that is given to us.
No.
Nothing.
Our life.
God just doesn't. Yeah. Well, God
our
gives
life.
You life. That's it.
That's it.
Have a party. Okay, Andy, you're alive. Soup, boop, you're conscious. Okay, now it's up to you, kid.
God would do more, though, to stop others from taking.
Well,
life.
That's not God's job, you know.
Well, I know it's not, but if we're going to like worry about something.
but you know what I'm saying? We don't get anything. I mean,
nope.
God's there to help you and to support you when you give,
mm-hmm.
but God doesn't just plop a pony down in your yard just because you want a pony.
Amen.
It doesn't work like that.
No, sir.
Because it would make you weaker. And
lazy.
It would make you lazy,
mm-hmm.
and would make you unappreciative, it would
yeah.
make you uncompassionate, it would make you all the things that God really doesn't encourage you to do, which is be strong and be
yeah.
healthy and take care of yourself and take care of your family. And by the way, then you can take care of the kid next door if you want.
Yeah,
thank you very much.
Self-sufficiency,
yeah. you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my interpretation of my experience with God.
Man, I love that one.
Do you like that one? Okay.
I do. That's a very, very, thank you.
You can use that.
No copyright.
No copyright.
No patent pending.
You can use that.
Thank you very much.
You can use that. Okay, it's the Real World of Money, Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone, and the Real World of Money. Well, so you got to talk about, so this is just hilarious, watching President Trump. He gets on Air Force One. And he's going over to Europe. And I think most of the Europeans probably want him to leave the room before he even gets there because they know what he's going to do. And,
yeah.
And it's just, it's so different from any president that I've seen in a long
Yeah, but I know the
long,
guy.
Long time.
I know the guy.
Long, long time. Okay.
And we go out to dinner once a month, and there's 10 of us, and one guy's always paying the check. At some point, he says, hey, you guys, does anybody else care to pick up the check here?
Well, why didn't other presidents even talk about that? Were
oh,
they so
well,
controlled
because
by the globalists?
We're so rich that it's petty to ask someone else to pick up the
petty.
Check.
It's petty.
You know, it's part of that. Yes, it's beneath us. Oh, good. Oh, how dare you be so gauche. What, you're going to ask us to pay now? No, we're here for the free dinner that you buy us every month.
Okay. Yeah, so the president's in Brussels. He has a meeting
yeah.
this morning. He has breakfast with the head guy at NATO and about 20 other
over.
People.
Yeah, and then he's going to see Merkel.
And then he's
going to
go see Merkel. And
okay, we got to have a talk here, Merkel. I mean, listen, you pay 1.5. You don't even pay 1.5. You pay 1% of your GDP for your own defense.
Okay.
We pay 4.
4. Well, the One Radio Network microphones were at this breakfast. President had poached eggs, and here's what he said.
Protecting all of these countries, it's very sad when Germany makes a massive oil and gas deal with Russia where you're supposed to be guarding against Russia and Germany goes out and pays billions and billions of dollars a year to Russia. So we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting all of these countries. And then numerous of the countries go out and make a pipeline deal with Russia where they're paying billions of dollars into the coffers of Russia. So we're supposed to protect you against Russia, but they're paying billions of dollars to Russia, and I think that's very inappropriate. And the former chancellor of Germany is the head of the pipeline company that's supplying the gas.
Okay.
Ultimately, ouch. Germany will have almost 70% of their country controlled by Russia with natural gas. So you tell me, is that appropriate? I mean, I've been complaining about this from the time I got in. It should have never been allowed to have happened. But Germany is totally controlled by Russia because they will be getting from 60 to 70% of their energy from Russia and a new pipeline. And you tell me if that's appropriate because I think it's not. And I think it's a very bad thing for NATO. And I don't think it should have happened. And I think we have to talk to Germany about it. On top of that, Germany is just paying a little bit over 1%, whereas the United States in actual numbers is paying 4.2% of a much larger GDP. So I think that's inappropriate also. You know, we're protecting Germany, we're protecting France, we're protecting everybody, and yet we're paying a lot of money to protect. Now, this has been going on for decades. This has been brought up by other presidents, but other presidents never did anything about it because I don't think they understood it or they just didn't want to get involved.
Yes.
But they I have to bring insult. It up because I think it's very unfair to our country. It's very unfair to our taxpayer. And I think that these countries have to step it up, not over a 10-year period. They have to step it up immediately. Germany is a rich country. They talk about they're going to increase it a tiny bit by 2030. Well, they could increase it immediately tomorrow and have no problem. I don't think it's fair to the United States. So we're going to have to do something because we're not going to put up with it. We can't put up with it. And it's inappropriate.
Well, Mr.
Four more years.
Angela just has a big
oh,
headache.
Oh, God, her face is turning white.
She's got a headache, right?
He's actually going to ask me to pay for this dinner.
Is Donald Trump going
to? Yeah, I can't believe it. Yeah, I know I've eaten free for I don't know how many years, but he's going to ask me to pay for this one.
It's hilarious, right?
So very same thing that happened with Canada. Hmm. You know, like, oh, how dare you tell us we're going to have to pay for dinner? Well, then, what are we going to do? We're not going to go? Or we're going to order twice as much next time that you pay? I don't know. It just seems absurd to me. That he is right. We've been paying the freight for the rest of the world for so long. I guess maybe since we were a creditor nation. You know, there was a time when the U.S. was so rich that they could pick up dinner every month and it didn't really bother them. But now we've gotten to the point where are we? $21 trillion
and we're spending a trillion more than we take in
every year. So if we can cut out some of the fat in the budget, like pitch in on these dinners, guys, save some money for us because we're hurting. And then in the tariff area, oh my goodness, you see what an outcry the rest of the world and the mainstream.
President Trump's gonna destroy the world.
Yeah, can't believe you're gonna do this. But the barriers that have been erected to American trade, both tariff and non-tariff, are enormous. They're immense. The things that we can and can't do, and when it comes to selling, it's almost like the American business has had its hands tied behind its back and forced to compete for decades. And so trying to knock down some of these barriers, and you know how it is, you're not going to get anything if you don't ask. We can't just leave things alone like they are, and by pointing out the deficiencies, maybe he's trying to, he called it inappropriate.
That was a good word. I liked it.
That was pretty good. I mean, he's more presidential now. He might have said something
inappropriate.
Different.
Inappropriate. Well, yes. The pipeline thing is curious, of course. F. William Ingdow, who's been on the show, and he's going to be here next week.
You believe he said pipeline?
Yeah, boy.
The president said pipeline. He did.
And he's going to be here next week, F. William Ingdow. We're going to get an update. But this is about that pipeline. That pipeline, goes through Turkey and Syria. And that's what that's been about. And and the EU is, they like this cheap Russian.
Sure they do.
LNG. And, and the president wants to sell our LNG, not only with the Qatar pipeline, which the U.S. is involved in, but they want to sell our gas too. Right?
Load it on a boat.
Yeah, load it on a boat and send it over there. And they can't compete. With that. So, it's, this is geopolitics. And so I'm going to be, it's going to be curious to hear what does President Trump say to Putin? He's not going to tell him to turn off his pipeline.
He's going to laugh. They're going to laugh together. And I'm absolutely certain they'll both see the irony in the.
Well, maybe they'll make a deal on the energy, huh? Maybe he can pull off a deal with.
Well, do we want a cartel that involves Russia at least?
But he's not going to give up his pipeline. Putin's not going to give up his, and Trump's not going to give up his.
Nobody wants to.
So sometimes
pump that stuff out of the ground.
Sometimes
you
either got to make a deal or start lobbying rockets at each other.
Start fighting.
That's not good.
Fighting's not good for anyone.
No.
And in business, we're all Swiss.
Yeah. But, with Mr. Trump today, I thought it's nice to have a man around the house. I think it's good that he goes over there and starts telling these people. I mean, they just must be beside themselves during this kind of self.
It's obvious. It's obvious. And their allies in the Fourth Estate there are certainly doing their job.
The Fourth Estate?
The media.
Oh, the media.
The media.
You're not talking about the media, Andrew.
I'm sorry.
Come on.
96% of the media controlled by six corporations. And now further consolidation, as I understand there's some kind of Fox, Disney, Comcast, Sky News deal cooking. So the idea that the entire message that most Americans receive from the news is all read off a single sheet of paper shouldn't be a surprise by now to anyone. I mean, there was a time in our lifetime, in a couple decades ago, where you had at least a segments of a free media. Yeah, there was the controlled media, but segments of the media were independent. And local stations owned by a person.
Yeah.
And with an opinion.
Used to be just, what, six when I was getting into the business. You could only own six stations.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, six.
And so you have 1,000 people owning six stations each. You're going to get a variation. You're going to hear the whole spectrum. You're going to hear unfiltered news. But now, new.
New.
You get nothing like unfiltered
news.
And
you know, if you really look at this AT&T deal, you know, the AT&T, I've read, has really been involved with the NSA forever, right? I mean, they're using the whole infrastructure.
CIAT&T.
Oh, did you say that? I like
out
it.
Loud.
CIAT&T. Oh, yeah. My goodness. Yeah. So they buy Time Warner, they buy HBO, they buy Turner, and whoa. Man, you don't think...
Long way from telegraph and telephone.
Oh, I tell you what, you don't think that has a big impact on what the consumers will get in their little brains, right?
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
and
my
especially
goodness.
Now as our news is more and more targeted.
Yeah.
Remember years ago we talked about the difference between broadcast and pointcast,
yeah,
where your proclivities and your attitudes are either reinforced or challenged by your news feed, by what they decide to feed you in your news. And as it's no longer a broad base now, you can target it to individuals. Have you noticed if you go online and search for a couch, you're besieged with couch ads and maybe a couple of news articles on which couch is better. So this sort of shaping, molding of the electorate is in full swing now, and we should get used to it.
Boy, this is really the movie network stuff and Orwellian. I mean, it's really going
way past that.
Way, man, and with the technology now, you have no idea what's going on. Right?
Yeah, we target it to the individual, and so if you need to change an individual's attitude about a certain thing, he needs to be besieged.
besieged.
You go after him with that information that you or her want them to think or feel.
So, did you say there's another big thing going on with Fox Disney?
Fox Disney Sky News, yes, it's an international thing. Rupert Murdoch.
So Murdoch is going to be the placeholder with this, I guess?
Pretty much, I would say.
Just,
In international media, it's more than just the U.S. now. Mm-hmm. Won't be just the Russians meddling in our elections. We'll have.
There's a pretty good show on called Succession.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that?
I've heard about that.
Yeah,
it's
pretty
supposed to be loosely based on Murdoch.
On Murdoch, right? Yeah. But it's just hilarious. I mean, it's like a dark comedy kind of thing because the characters are really a trip and all that.
Check it out. Yeah, what I did see was PBS Jamestown from the.
Oh, I want. Is that good?
Yeah.
Is it really?
If you believe in socialism.
Oh.
You should watch Jamestown. Well, okay, because it was a private socialist, a fascist experiment, really, where the Virginia company that sponsored all the people there, okay, we own you, and you're going to this colony, and you're going to work and kind of do what we say, and it was like a commune, essentially. And, of course, they starved, just like the people in Massachusetts, because when folks are working for someone else, they'll find a way to do as little as possible.
You think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah.
And then the ancient planters, they're interesting. They're the ones that came over on the first ship. They were, by the time the third resupply mission came in, they were granted 100 acres of land of their own. It was like, okay, you've done your stint. You know, here it is 10 years after you landed, 12, I think. And so now, as one of the first people here, we're going to give you 100 acres of land. Boy, that's when the colony exploded.
Ooh, yeah.
That's when it exploded, when you gave a person, here's your own thing, and everything you produce is yours, they were up at the crack of dawn, didn't go to bed till after the sun went down, and they worked and worked so hard and so diligently. Why? Because they were working for themselves, mm-hmm. that productivity. So the moment that you throw folks into a communal situation where there is no immediate reward for hard work, there is no reward for extra diligence, then why bother? Why put it forward? And that's really the lesson of Jamestown, and to a greater extent, the Mayflower, which also, the Plymouth Rock experiment found themselves in the very same position.
So that's a PBS thing you could get on Netflix?
Yeah, Jamestown, this one, PBS, Jamestown is the name of it. It's a 7 or 8 part series. Mm-hmm. And, it just goes through the whole thing, starting from, hey, the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria, three ships with a ragtag band of settlers that were all indentured in some way or another to the Virginia Company.
So this will give you a little education on socialism?
Sure will. Mm-hmm. If you believe in socialism, you get to see. Well, and that's why I say those that study history, I get utopia, the Oneida Society and the idea that we're all for one and one for all, that old Three Musketeers thing. But you can't. I mean, you really can't do it and expect a thriving society.
Okay. Andrew Goss, Patrick Timpone. It is the Real World of Money. Please join us. We have lots to talk about this morning. I have a lot of notes here and tabs open, and we're going to have some fun. 888-663-6386, email patrick@oneradionetwork.com. We got a little jump into summer rebounding sale kind of thing going on, jump into summer, and so it's about time we do one. I worked it out with the Rebound Air people, and because we really hadn't sold that many in the last few months or something, just not a lot, and I don't know why that is either. Such really great tools. So I worked out a deal. We can't put it in print, but I can get you a good price if you email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com, get you the half fold for $299, generally $399 we sell it, and then the ultimate, which is the quarter fold, we'll sell it to you for $339, which is, I don't even know what our, we don't really sell that many. I think it was $369, $379. So it's a really nice little deal. If you'd like to look at the ultimate, you can just go to reboundair.com, I think with a dash in there, and you'll see they call the ultimate folding Rebound Air, and they sell it for $429. But we can't put it in print, but we can sell you one for $339 delivered in the lower 48. So this is really a nice deal. So I would say if you think you're going to be into the Rebounder for a long, long time, and you can afford it, and I would spend the extra $39 and get the ultimate, because it really is quite a, it's just a bigger, stronger, more intense unit. But they all have the, lifetime warranty. So even the half fold, and it's a great unit. We sell mostly half folds. Anyway, so email me if you want to get one. Now's the time. You can look at them on reboundair.com, but then email me and we'll sell it to you. $299 for the half fold, $339 for the ultimate, and that's delivered price in the lower 48 U.S.
Previously with Daniel Vitalis, talking about elk velvet antler from Sir Thrival.
Elk antler or deer antler products are probably the most regenerative substance that we can find in nature, at least for mammals. A couple things that I think are really cool about it is mm-hmm. that it's got six types of collagen.
That's really
amazing. When you think about the antler of an elk or a deer, these are an organ that grow in just 3 months' time and then fall off, and the very next year they grow back. Mammals don't typically regenerate organs that fall off, but antlers from all of the cervid mammals are completely regenerated. In order for them to regenerate, they need to contain substances that cause regeneration, and that's like the 24 growth factors that we find in elk velvet antler.
Regeneration, we like that word. Growth factors, we love that word. For boys and girls, that's you. Exclusively from Sir Thrival and exquisitely produced, Daniel Vitalis, OneRadioNetwork.com.
You betcha. Really, really nice products. Living Stream's mission is they have about 14 different probiotics, liquid probiotics, that Wayne Blakely, who'll be on the show next week again, knows so much about the body. He's been at it for a long time since he helped his son kind of ditch a lot of autistic behavior things. And go through a few of the products. If you'd like to get yttrium, which is a very special nutrient that is very extremely hard to find in this country, but it's in the curcumin in India. It's in the bifido, so you're going to get some probiotics along with yttrium. Let's see, the chabide, that's specifically made for sleep. It's got some special herbs in there and nutrients, all with the probiotics to help it be more absorbable. The perfect molecule is the C60 version of Living Streams. And then the two basic ones, and people ask me, and I would just get the Living Streams Multi-Blend, and that's a real nice combination of human DNA probiotics with Lactobacillus paracases subspecies, Lactobacillus gravitius, and multi-linked bacillus groups creating colonies. And this little guy will re-inoculate your gut and keep it on going. You put a little bit in water. I had a detox reaction from it, from these, and it just kind of surprised me because I think I just overdid a little bit. So be careful. Just go by the directions they send you and just take your time with it. These are very powerful, very powerful. If you want to play around with Bifido too, you can put some drops in your ear, actually get into the small intestine, which is helping people with SIBO, that small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. And then for the minerals, the Living Minerals Probiotics. And boy, that's a great product where you're going to be getting about 80-something minerals in a probiotic form, really absorbable. And then you get those probiotics in your tummy and the bacteria in your tummy, and then it works on the minerals, and then that's what you use to absorb the vitamins. So 80% of the immune system is in the gut. These are pretty amazing products. You can click on One Radio Network ad and go on the into their site and order what you want, or you can go in the store and pick out, but they'll all take you to the same place. You can also talk to Marilyn, who works with the company, to get more information about some of these products that they can't put in print because the FDA has Wayne on a short leash, and you can just use your imagination there. Her number is 360-912-2981, 360-912-2981. But if you just talk to her or you talk to Wayne, she'll give you Wayne's number too. Please order through the website. Otherwise, we don't get a commission on the deal. If you order over the phone, then it bypasses the commission and they're not set up. So they want you to do that too. But, you know, sometimes if they don't know who you are, they'll just take the order over the phone and we get cut out of the deal, which is, you know, I have to make my house payment like you. So that's how that works. And her number, 360-912-2981, then order through our website.
Good morning. This is OneRadioNetwork.com. The telephone number is 888-663-6386. Email patrick@OneRadioNetwork.com. Here's your host, Patrick Timpone.
Andrew Goss buys and sells gold coins for a living. His company is SDL that we talk about during the show. We'll give you some information on this morning. If you're interested in dealing in numismatic coins, he deals in real American money. That's it. No bullion, no Krugerrands, no chunks of gold. You don't do that kind of
no,
chunky,
I hate that. Hate it.
Chunky
hate
monkey.
It.
You don't do
hate
chunky
it with
monkey. You hate it.
Hate it with a passion.
If I gave you a gold bar, you would take it.
I would sell it immediately and buy an American rare coin. Immediately. I wouldn't
rascal
wait.
Rascal to you.
Well, I mean, listen, they're digging gold every day. They're striking these bars every day.
You
and
rascal.
You can't, when you go to sell one, it's not like you can say, oh, my gold bar's special. Will you pay
it's
me a
special.
Premium? It's special.
Special.
And that doesn't happen. It's like, okay, you want to sell your gold? You sell it for what it's worth, and that's it. In fact, you're probably going to get a few pennies less than what it's worth as the person buying it. It wants to do the same thing, resell it for a profit. So,
what's going
it's
on?
It's not a good market.
So the dollar is kind of, well, it's kind of just hanging around that 1300 range.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. The gold you're talking about, yeah, the dollar is extremely strong. They're trying to give it a little headroom to let it get ahead of the curve a bit here. I don't know if you caught the PPI numbers this morning.
Well, there, that
inflation price
is
index.
really yeah. rampant, isn't it?
Yeah, so they want to let the dollar run ahead a bit just to try to get some traction under its feet, because, boy, that inflation is just going to eat it up. And to compound that, we had Manhattan real estate sales, the lowest point in 6 years. Yeah. Mortgage rates are rising, and already the Fed is trying to head off what they view. It's here. It's now. Inevitable. So you throw the trade or tariff thing into the mix, and now you see, a 10% rise across the board for Chinese goods, or 25% rise across the board for items that contain imported steel. There go your Mercedes prices. And, you know, it's just an inflationary environment. We're entering it full bore. Well, of course, on the plus side, everyone has a job. Unemployment's at historic lows. Hispanic unemployment has never been this low, ever. So folks aren't really looking for jobs. In fact, they're being offered better-paying jobs if they'll leave the one that they're in now. So,
well, if you get geeky and you look at, like, the UIC's August measure, which I did today, I don't even know what that means.
What the heck?
I know, but I looked at it, and it was the New York Fed joined the Atlanta Fed in releasing its own measure to track underlying inflation.
Yep.
The underlying inflation gauge, that's underlying. What the UIC is. And boy, I mean, even a non-geek like me can look at it, and it's not good. Broad inflation came in at a red hot 3.27, the highest since, since 2005. So you've been predicting this for a while.
Yeah, it's about a year. I mean, it's about a year late.
It's coming,
okay.
Isn't it? Yeah, well, I know you were a little early.
But it's here. I think it's better to be a year early than a day late, which is why I've been preaching to people like I'm not Jimmy Swaggart, but hey,
Jimmy,
monthly accumulation. Don't speculate. Like, oh, it's here now. It's in my face. So now I'm going to take my whole pile of wealth and move it in. Come on, folks. That's not the smart
way to
do it.
And then when people start doing that, as you have taught us, then the gold. The coins keep even going up in value.
Oh, then it gets ridiculous.
Then it gets silly.
Well, that's when I'm calling my clients who paid attention and say, hey, you remember those things you bought for $600? Well, they're $2,400. What do you want to do? Yeah, exactly.
Because you run out of
Because I have no... And, you know, trying to buy it in the open market just raises prices even farther.
Okay, so what is driving this inflation? Now, we know the Fed's balance sheet, you know, they
put
created
in four,
a lot of money in the last 10 years.
You want to look at that for a minute?
Well, sure. I mean,
let's look at that H41 release.
H41 release. I should have it right here in my bookmarks, but I'll just type it in here.
Yeah. Okay. So, and you have an interesting, curious circumstance where the Fed is taking electronic money out of circulation and replacing it with paper money.
What's up with that?
I haven't seen that in so many years. You know, as we head deeper and deeper into an electronic monetary system, okay.
Okay, if you'd
let me know when you're there.
If you'd like to follow along, you just type in H41 release and go
Fed.
To Fed.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's right here, federalreserve.gov. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm there, yeah.
Yeah, and you get the latest report.
Mm-hmm. Pretty.
And you can see that over the last calendar year, from July 5th, 2017 to July 4th, 2018, we've reduced the supply of money, hot money, bank money, by $165 billion. So the Fed, staying true to its word, as these bonds and bills that they bought during the crisis in 2008 mature, they're not reinvesting the money. Can you see that? They're reducing the balance sheet. So you can see that a year...
So where do I see that?
Oh, well, you see that in the bank reserve credit, reserve bank credit
at the
top.
Top number.
And total factors supplying reserve funds at the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
So you see total factors supplying reserve funds is down $165 billion.
Yep, $4,347 B.
Yep, down $165 from last July 4th. So over the last year... As $165 billion in 3 month, 6 month, 1 year, 2 year notes have come due, instead of reinvesting that money and buying new ones, the Fed has extinguished it, taken it off the balance sheet. They allowed the bond to mature or the bill to mature, and then the money that was paid to them was extinguished.
They just burnt the money.
Well, essentially. Yeah, it's all electronic anyway, right?
So you just hit the delete key just like you did the enter key to create it.
That's right.
That's just crazy.
And you can see that line a bit now. If we go back to the top, Reserve Bank credit, you see the second one, securities held outright. You see that...
$4 trillion
still, but that number is down $149 billion from last year. You see that, right? Mm-hmm. 149, 169?
Yeah, well.
You go below that one line, and you'll see U.S. Treasury securities.
2.3.
Uh-huh. And how many of those less? So $94 billion worth of those things came due in the last year. And so as they came due and they were paid off by the government to the Fed, they extinguished the money. So they didn't reinvest that $94 billion. It's off of the balance sheet.
Now, let's see. So... We the people paid the Fed $94 billion for lending us the money that they created on a computer.
I don't go there.
No, I will go there. Now, wait a minute. I want to understand this.
So they create the money, and then they loan it to us.
Yeah, and then...
And they get a certificate that says they loaned it to us.
And then the money that
we give the money back,
they just deleted it.
They collect their interest and delete the money. Yeah, that's... Jeez. That was the beauty of an elastic system, so that we don't have to go through a depression.
Hold on a second.
We can have an elastic money supply.
So I go out and spend my life talking on the radio, and I sell products, and I get money, and I pay taxes on it, and then I give it to them, and then they give it to them, and then they delete it?
Correct.
Wait a minute.
That money's deleted.
Well, so they didn't think much of my labor, did they?
Well, no, they laid it out in advance of you paying it to them, remember?
What do you mean? They didn't tell me anything.
Yeah, they did.
They said, you owe this much.
I said, look, we need $150 billion. We don't have it. Patrick's going to give it to us next year, but this year we need it. We're in a crisis right now. And so the Fed said, all right, look, no problem. We'll create the money.
I'm not feeling really good here.
And when Patrick pays it, you just give it back. That's all. So we'll create it. We'll replace it with this money here. And then next year and the year after and the year after that, as Patrick gives it back to you, you give it to us, and we'll put it back in our nothing hole
over
here.
Doesn't even make sense. Why don't they just take the money that I gave them and buy what they want to buy? Why do they go and borrow it from the Fed?
Well, remember,
there you go.
They needed it in advance of you paying it.
I see. Well,
they need to spend next year's tax money and the year after that and the year after that. And if you looked at it in those terms, the federal government has already spent the next 90 years of tax revenue. They've already spent it.
90 years?
90 years of tax revenue.
How are you figuring that?
Well, it's easy. Take the individual income tax and multiply it by 90. You have taxes being paid in each year.
About $3 trillion?
What's it?
1040. What is it, 1040
I
tax?
I bet my math is off. You're right. It's probably more like 200 years because... And so if we're paying 3 every year and we're running a deficit every year, so it means the money that we're not paying off the debt at all, you see. We're simply adding to it every single year. So we spend 3, we earn, we pay in 4, we pay in 3, we spend 4. 3 on what we already have and 1 to add to the pile.
Right?
So we're not paying back any principal.
No.
But let's assume that we shut the government down and just took the money and paid back what we owe. Still, it would take 7 years.
Oh, you mean if we didn't do anything?
Anything.
Kind of like I can live as long as I don't spend anything.
Right. No, Social Security. That's right. You can't do that. So if you take all of that stuff out of the budget, right, and assume, I don't know, a surplus of what? How much a year? Nothing. Zero. So, I mean, how many years of tax revenue have they really spent if they're not paying back any principal? So if they said, okay, well, we're going to pay back $300 billion a year, then at least you could do the division or the math and decide, all right, $21 trillion, we're paying back $300 trillion. But that would assume that we're not growing it. And that's the sadness of it all, is that it grows every single year. So the solution is not in the cards. There is no credible plan to pay off the national debt ever.
Ever.
So they will continue to do this.
Ever.
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 And if you look at the numbers, which I saw the other day, about what the interest on the debt will be
every year
going out, you know, to 2025 or something.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
It'll make your head explode.
It will, especially when
where's that money going to come from?
Uh-huh. It's going to come out of our
because they're not making any babies. Did you see the birth rate?
Yeah.
It's just zero.
Down at the bottom of the chart.
You know, they've lowered the...
I remember a colleague in the 80s.
50% less than what it was 20 years ago.
And told me, I don't have any kids because I wouldn't bring a child into this. This is like madness. And I thought he was an absolute nut. Of course, I had four girls at the time. Well, the girls are all grown, and I'm asking them. Okay, so, you know, they all want the big family like we had.
Sure, why
not? Three, four kids. But that was a small family compared to the generation before. So I get your point. Yeah, we don't have that, which may be why we want to throw the borders open and allow as many people in here as we can pack, somebody to help pay the bills. I get it, but I don't think it's a workable solution.
You know, I don't really understand. You know, we did a show yesterday on vaccines and also on the 5G thing.
Yeah,
Andrew
yeah.
Goss, if you listen to this professor, PhD dude,
you'd get a Faraday cage.
On 5G, and he explained what this does to the
sure.
body,
yeah,
and
it's
I'm
like
talking about
microwave.
He's got peer review studies that'll just make your head explode.
Of course.
This is dangerous stuff, and they're putting it everywhere. So I don't understand why the boys with GMOs and whatever they're doing in 5G, I mean, who's going to serve them breakfast at their hotels in Davos? I mean, why do they want to kill everybody?
It particularly kills the elderly, though, right?
I don't know.
Yeah,
it's really detrimental to the little kids. Their little brain things are very thin, and it's terrible.
Well, they realized that when Litton
introduced... So the boys must not know that this stuff is as bad as it is. They wouldn't.
Absurd.
They wouldn't kill off the goose that's making the golden thing, would they?
Well, unless you live on top of a cell tower or keep one strapped to your head 24/7, it's unlikely that it's going to affect you as greatly. So they're gambling. That's all.
I see.
We're going to kill a certain amount, but is it worth it for all the extra things we get? Well, yeah.
Is the technology worth it?
Oh, is the technology worth it? It's going to kill some people.
Yeah.
Okay, you could make the same argument about zipping down the highway at 60 miles an hour in a big hunk of steel. Certain amount of people are going to die, but is it an acceptable risk? Well, we'll mitigate the risk as much as we can.
Yeah, and I guess if you look at the model, if you have the ability to keep people going on drugs and stuff for a long time, well then
that's right.
You know, that's an income stream.
You can counteract
too.
The effects. Absolutely.
You're getting so dark here. I don't know what we're talking.
Yeah.
Okay, what's this all about?
Yeah, let's back up.
Jeez. Yeah. How do we get down this black
get
hole?
Get out of
man?
This rabbit hole
well,
quickly.
Okay. I'll do this. It's July 11th, 2018. Andrew Goss and the Real World of Money. I guess you really can't look at it too carefully. You would just move to Puerto
you will.
Rico
You'll
or
absolutely
you know?
Lose your mind when you realize that, though, this is all manufacturing process, all technology, every bit of it. There is that. How many people are going to die from this? Is that an acceptable amount? Well, let's reduce it this way so that fewer people die. Okay, but that's about as low as we can get it. Well, all right, then. Let's roll it out with that many people dead.
Here's an email from Leon. It says, you know, one thing you guys should talk about is that the president doesn't mention that the military-industrial complex makes a lot of money off all of this NATO spending, and which goes to the stock market that the president is always touting as his deal. So, turnabout fair play?
Maybe.
Yeah. That's a good point.
It is a great point.
Good for you. Good email.
Those who want to believe
the president
that
doesn't, you know, he's
maybe he's controlled by the military-industrial complex.
Yeah,
no, maybe he's heeding Hike's warning. Hey, time to close these guys down a little bit.
Well, there's been a lot of that talk, and I was going to ask you about that. That's on my list. Do you really think that it's possible that the president is trying to get away from this imperialistic kind of thing with a new direction for the military and the CIA?
How naive do I sound when I say yes?
Really, huh?
Do
you think he is?
I'm so naive. You know, it's the opposite of how cynical I am. I really want to believe
that he's trying
to help us. I really want to believe he's trying to free us from this
Yeah, this stuff's been going on for 50 years, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
50 years.
Since the days of John Kennedy and before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really think he's a soldier for good. I know. I'm naive. What can I say?
Well,
and many people have pointed out, you know, some of the inconsistencies. And sure, I see them. But Patrick, I want to believe.
Yeah, I know.
I just want to. I want to think that because I see how hopeless the circumstance is. And when I hear him saying things like, okay, we need to, like, how about you guys pay more and we pay a little less? Okay, so that's a little less deficit. That's a little less debt. When he says, okay, give us some tariffs, that's, again, a little less deficit, a little less debt. We have to get back on the path of fiscal prudence, or our savings, our life savings. This is the huge generation, 80 million people. These are the folks that have worked for the last 30 years and put away a little pittance of money. To now dilute that money is the most unfair thing done to a generation in, I don't know, lifetimes. You can't. It's a horrible thing. We're a nation of savers, yeah? Let's look at this other metric. Where is it? MZM. Oh, sorry, we're not done with H41. As we go down the next the next category, you'll see the currency in circulation.
I see it right here.
Has increased by $105 billion since last year this time. So while it's true that they've reduced the electronic money by 150, 160.
Oh, you mean the stuff that they do on the magic computer?
Yeah, right? Yeah, create it, delete it,
blah, blah, so forth. Delete.
They, while they were doing all that and netted out like minus 150 from how many were in circulation last
year,
on the currency side, they've increased that by 150.
105.
105, sorry. 105 billion.
How does that 105 get into circulation?
They just print it. Now we're talking $100 bills.
Oh, so this is actual currency.
Currency in circulation.
So $105 bills got out there?
Well, $105 billion.
Billion in $100
bills.
Yeah, wow. And how did they get into this system?
Well, they simply send it into the system. The banks say, send us some currency.
Oh, I see. Does the bank have to send digits for that currency? Or?
No, apparently not. You see, this 105 is a plus.
Oh, that's curious.
So we reserve balances with the Federal Reserve banks at the bottom. See that?
Mm-hmm.
So they've carried these traditional reserve balances. Remember, we talked about that. Go all the way on the left, and you'll see that the banks have on deposit with the Fed nearly $2 trillion, $1.9 trillion.
And they call the Fed and ask them for hundreds?
They say, send me hundreds, so we're going to reduce the balance by 105.
Oh, I see.
Right?
Oh, I see. So they take it off the tab.
Off of the bottom of that reserve balances with Federal Reserve banks. So there's $2 trillion that's kind of pent up. It's sitting in the commercial banks and the banks on deposit with the Fed.
This would be like Goldman Sachs and J.P. Morgan and the other guys.
Bank of America.
They've got $2 trillion at the Federal Reserve Bank of New York. Earning interest. Which they own.
Well.
By the way.
Well, yeah. But they're earning interest. So they're in on
how much interest these days?
I haven't looked in a while. A
couple
of
percent.
A quarter point.
Oh, that's all?
Yeah, a quarter point. I think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's not, you know. And then how does the Fed get the money to pay that?
Mm-hmm.
They create it?
From the interest that they get, from the other money that they create. See, they're cutting
They're cutting out the U.S., right?
Well,
they cut out the people because that's our money, really.
That is our money.
Oh,
there we go.
See,
now you got
now
it.
I'm
so
getting it.
Our money is how it's being paid.
How come they're always the one at the end here?
They're cutting the commercial banks into the deal.
Jeez.
Okay, you guys, you can get in on the deal. Just leave us the reserves and we'll take care of everything else. Yeah.
What a Ponzi puffer. I mean, what a.
Well, but the impact of that
system,
has been that the banks, you remember that last line in Too Big to Fail? They will lend it.
They will lend it, won't they?
No, yeah, they'll lend it, but to the Fed. So there's $2 trillion of the $4 trillion that was put into circulation being withheld from the economy, okay?
I see. Okay, so the 4.5, now let's see, or the $4 trillion that was created since 2008.
Correct.
Since Lehman.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is hot, right? Because they can, now the the banks themselves can multiply that. That's a money multiplier, right? That's modern money mechanics by the Chicago Federal Reserve. Get it and read it. So you, through the magic of fractional banking, they can multiply that. And by keeping $2 trillion of it sort of out of the hot money stream, then it kind of mitigates the inflation that we would have otherwise felt. But understand that that powder is dry. Now, except for Goldman and I think Deutsche Bank, the stress test revealed that the banks are in pretty good shape and they could start drawing on that, which apparently they have. If you see those reserve balances with the Federal Reserve banks have gone down by, $158 billion. Or about the same amount as what the Fed took out of circulation. So they kind of balance each other out. They offset each other, but at the same time, they control the inflation. So let's get off the Fed's balance sheet for a minute and look at money with a zero maturity, MZM, to get back to the point that I was making about this baby boomer generation having put away a bunch of money.
Okay, I'm there.
What is that money stock, MZM? What is it today?
Well,
is it down? It's not down. We're
I
marching,
think it's $15.5 trillion.
Marching towards the $16 trillion number. So Americans believe they have $15.5 trillion in money with a zero maturity. That means it's not invested in the stock market. It's not invested in a treasury bond or a treasury bill. It's not in a CD. It's liquid, ready cash. We can get to it tomorrow and pay our bills. $15 trillion. What was it at the beginning of the last problem? Nearly $8 trillion, right?
2008?
Yeah, it's about half what it is right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, we have August 2008 was 8.7, yeah.
Yes, so now what I've said many times as we've discussed, how do they get us forward in this circumstance? And I keep saying, by adding zeros. You remember, as long as we don't run out of zeros?
As long as we don't run out of zeros,
right,
you're fine.
Right. So we double the supply of money. We double the amount of money that we owe. We just keep doubling. And over time, no one ever notices. It stays at that 3-to-1 ratio where there's three times as much debt as there is money to pay. And every now and then we have a crisis that forces us to ramp it up even worse for a short period, as it was from 2007 to, say, 2009. A period in which you'll see on your MZM chart that Americans just piled their money into the bank. They didn't spend a dollar. They kept it all the time. They didn't spend it. And this, of course, controlled the inflation that would otherwise have been created by this creation of money. And you remember all of the people that were running around talking hyperinflation, it's the end of the world, the Fed has multiplied the money supply by 4,000%. Remember all that?
Yep, I do.
Well, this is how it's all controlled. And that last final component, monetary velocity. So where is velocity these days? Well, you'll see Americans are starting to spend their money. It's just started, but they are starting to spend their money. Velocity of the money stock is just flattened and has started to rise again, which will be the first time in, 10 years.
So that's part and parcel of this whole inflation thing that's flating.
Yeah, how many times does a dollar turn over in a given year? Do people get their hands on it and park it, which has been their behavior for the last 10 years? Do you get your hands on a dollar and you save it and you say, wow, March, things could be like 2008 again. Let's save some money. So we're saving it, and we just now leveled off and started spending it again. We talked about it last quarter. I think that you'll be able to chart the bottom at 1.295, given another few years. Right now we're at 1.3, so we've just started off the bottom.
Well, this might be a good reason, knowing what people know in the last hour about how this game is played, to maybe buy or own some gold and silver coins?
Oh, yeah.
Could I do, listen, could we do a commercial for you?
I thought we just did. Yeah. You know, that,
I mean,
that,
you know, that, you know, that really is true. Really, that really is a commercial, isn't it?
It was a commercial.
It
that
is
was
because
it.
That was it.
And I don't care. You know, here's the commercial for not me, but the whole industry. Honestly, when I say to you folks, I love you, whoever, I don't care who you buy it from, seriously, just buy it. You make sure you're getting an NGC certified gold or silver American coin struck before John Kennedy met his demise, and you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You just put it away, put it in a box. Make sure you're paying a reasonable price for it. That's easy enough to determine. So you follow the big three rules. You know, buy a certified American coin. Make sure you're paying a price that's reasonable. Put it into your physical possession vault, and that's all you need to do. Now, I have spent my life trying to do this correctly and trying to run the utmost firm in terms of integrity and, you know, what we do. And so if you want to buy from me, if you want to check me out, I'd love your business. Believe me, I'll bend over backwards to get it. But seriously, it doesn't really matter. As long as you follow the rules, I don't make these things. I can only buy them from other folks. So if you're interested, get started with an educational kit. There's three free CDs on money that are available to Patrick's listeners. All you have to do is call 800-468-2646. And just mention One Radio Network or Patrick Timpone Show, and you'll get a kit in the mail that costs us several dollars to produce. And we'll pay for the mailing, the shipping. And nobody's going to hound you day and night now to buy coins. Just get an education and learn how it works, because there will come a time soon where you will want to have some gold or silver in your portfolio if you don't already. And you're going to need to know someone, and that's what you should be doing now, developing your connections. So please take advantage. 1-800-468-2646. Mention Patrick or One Radio Network, and you'll get the red glove treatment. And by the way, my fold-over rebounder's in the yard now. You know, it's out on the patio, so I go outside.
Oh, you started. Yeah. You got back.
It was upstairs in the bedroom, and yeah. I just like, yeah, I don't yeah. Good it's nice out. I'm just going to put it outside, and when I have my morning lemon water, I'm jumping.
Wow, you're going to be a force to reckon with, kid. Your root canal's out and your blood pressure happy. Yeah. How's BP? Is it
good? So I'm listening to you. BP is happy. Taking my Holestrol. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the Holestrol.
It really helped you.
Oh, wow. Holestrol, CoQ10, and, of course, the apple cider vinegar, the rebounder, the exercise, of course, very important. A guy like me who spends all day sitting and looking at coins or, you know, that activity is very important. So, and the rebounder, because of that force that it provides against the cells, is just
good.
I've found it to be the perfect, besides bike riding, which I love my bike, which I do in the winter on Hilton Head. The rebounder kind of takes the place here in the big city. You don't want to get on a bike on the road because, well, you're taking your life in your hands. So, yeah. Rebounder's safe. I'm not going to get hit by a car. So,
not generally.
Generally. Oh.
Thanks for the plug. Andy's talking about the Holestrol, and that is a product that we sent him, and it's available at the same place where you can get the Pearlseum. It's right at the top of the page, and he said he got some results, headaches gone in just a day or so. Pretty interesting, and it's a very unique formula. You might want to check out this calcium product that it's made from pearls called Pearlseum. Not just calcium, but it's got minerals and protein in it too. You can take this internally, but the cool thing, and just really give this a try. This is amazing. Even if you don't hear anything else I'm saying here, get some of this Pearlseum and just brush your teeth with it after you use your toothpaste. Just do it. And you do that for a few days, and then you email me and tell me if I was just making something up. I'm just going to let you experience it. I'm not going to even tell you what you're going to feel or see, but it's pretty, pretty cool. And actually want to get back with her on the air and find out exactly what's going on. And these are just pure pearl. It's called Pearlseum. We're on the front page. Take it internally. Put it in face cream on your face or brush your teeth with it after toothpaste or just replace toothpaste. You don't even need the toothpaste. And then the Holestrol, which is the high blood pressure stuff that's these herbs that we sent Andrew that he really had a good experience with. And she told us on the show, she thought this was one of the best formulas ever. Now, where she came, I don't know where she came up with the formula, but it's Pearlseum, and that's right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com, right up the top. We talked about the show on 5G and some of the things that are going on with the Wi-Fi and the cell phone towers, and it's just a challenge. And I don't know of all the different things you can try, but we know that this one is a good one. We know the people that are doing it, so you might want to listen to it and consider getting yourself one. Previously, we talked with Brandon Amalani about his Blue Shield product to protect against EMFs in your home.
The more connected we are, the more electromagnetic radiation we're going to have. So years ago, I'd play with Q-Links and just anything I can get my hands on that, whether I felt it working or not, I just wanted some kind of leverage against electromagnetic radiation and those frequencies and how they affect the cellular biology. But then when I met Mark and started really getting deep to his technology and really looking at the microprocessing technology, I've never found any EMF company that would not only to test on not only human blood and urine analysis, but also on animals, which totally weeds out the idea of placebo effect. I mean, the fact that you can plug these devices into a chicken farm, a factory farm, for about 15,000 laying hens, and all of a sudden the mortality rate, which is averages from 60 to 150 deaths per month, goes down to zero. I mean, it's pretty profound that a little device, a little energy device, could actually like create such a harmony and balance within the environment to where claustrophobic chickens that are crammed in together actually get along better and actually feel better. The biological markers are improved over that 1 year study.
There's quite a bit of science with this Blue Shield product. You can see the ad on the front page. Promo code OneRadio will get you a 10% discount. This works on the cells in the body. Very cool technology. Front page, Blue Shield, OneRadioNetwork.com. Daniel Vitalis, let's play a game. On a desert island, you can only pick one food. Just one. Just only one.
If I had to live off of one food, I think it would be, if I had any choice, it would probably be colostrum. It's the most complete food that I know of. And the thing about colostrum is it's the first food for any mammal. So it's kind of a no-brainer that colostrum contains all essential fats. It contains all essential amino acids. It contains all essential glyconutrients, which are carbohydrates. It basically contains every substance that we need to maintain our bodies. The first milking you get from a cow after the cow calves is called colostrum. Every milking thereafter is called transitional milk. And what it is it's part colostrum and part milk. So that's something that can happen in the industry because people will sell you the transitional milk and call it colostrum. We're very careful not to do that. We only use the first milking of the animals.
Pure colostrum from SirThrival. They take the moisture out. That's it. To order, click on the picture of colostrum, front page, OneRadioNetwork.com.
Broadcasting live, weekday mornings, this is listener-supported One Radio Network.
Yes, it is. Patrick Timpone, One Radio Network, and Andrew Goss, currency historian. Let's see here. Isn't it time to dissolve NATO, writes an emailer. Germany, Russia, gas pipeline played at the beginning of the show. Wasn't it a time to dissolve NATO decades ago and leave all the countries in Europe, the EU, and the rest to live, trade together as they choose?
Well, we don't have to dissolve it. Just check out. That's all we need to do. I think it's a different world than it was when NATO was founded. So perhaps it is time to at least reduce our involvement in the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. But, you know, I think the risk was not so much Russia as it was the weakened nations of Europe post-World War II that caused us to create this idea. Mm-hmm. This organization, and it's a different world. So are they needed anymore? Probably not as much. Could they exist without the United States' funding? No. And I think that's why President Trump is so adamant. It's like, why are we paying for this? We really don't need it. It's not helping the American people, and so you guys pay for it, or at least pay more of it. And that's not too much to ask, I don't think.
Well, Mr. Putin sure takes it seriously. I saw a report this morning of satellite photos, and he's Putin is building up some troops in a certain area because he's concerned about the NATO presence there. And, you know, Russia has a long history of being invaded, right? And, you know, he takes it seriously.
They're leery.
You know, yeah, he's very takes it very seriously. And, you know, and so maybe the president, he can work something out. They're going to meet this week, right?
Yeah, today, I think.
Is it today, Vlad?
He does keep a tight schedule.
Oh, I tell you what, yeah.
Yeah, he you know, okay, we're going to meet with the boys, and now we're going to meet with Angela Merkel, and then we're going to meet with Putin. Oh, mm-hmm. It was like, boom, boom, boom. And then we're going back home. We got other things to do.
And what's he want with Miss Merkel besides her, I guess, not buying so much energy from Vlad?
Well, yeah.
Buy some from us?
Yeah. Why? I mean, you're telling me what an awful thing this is, and you're doing business with them. What's that all about? And you're gonna like not let our American cars into your country? Like, we can't sell you cars, but he can sell you gas, and we're paying to defend you from him. Wait a minute. What's wrong with this picture? I think that's probably the sum of the conversation.